And now, our feature presentation.
And now, being recorded in front of a live studio audience of myopic chihuahuas, it's the most random show on the internet, it's TBK Live's Mad Holiday Season. Ladies and gentlemen, the 25 days of Christmas rolls on here on tbkmagazine.com. Don't forget to visit our store, ShopTBK, tbkmagazine.com/ShopTBK, for all your nerd purchases and books from Burning Willow Press. And don't forget to visit our Patreon page, patreon.com/tbkmagazine, as we're looking to get a studio. But today, it is another episode devoted to Christmas, but not just Christmas. How about some music, too? We're going to talk to our resident music writer, and one of the only two women to make me jealous all year. I'm still mad about that. Joining us today is Madmanda.
What's going on? Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. I could tell you what's going on, but then we'd have to have a longer conversation that would lead into you not being here. So I think everyone who reads the website knows that you love music. So, but let's tell them a little bit more about yourself.
Yeah, so saying that I love music would be like the understatement of the century.
It's not a love, it's an obsession.
Go ahead.
It's not a love, it's an obsession, yes.
So my background, I graduated with a degree in mass communications. I volunteered as a radio DJ at the campus radio station for all 4 years. And then my last 2 years there, I actually worked, got paid to be their music director. Best 4 years ever.
Nice. Yep. I never got to be a music director. I did tell you that I was a DJ before, but I never got to be the music director.
But yeah, it definitely had its perks.
It did.
Got to hear all the new music first.
But I did get to record all the ads.
Oh, nice.
So there was that. So I got to play around with a lot more new music than I thought I would. But So I think one of the big questions we get about you all the time is that, why does she just love country music?
Oh, I hate when people say that because I don't just love country music.
Okay, so first of all, I knew that, but they don't know that. So I think it's a good time to explain that. But yeah, that's kind of one of the things that we get is just like, well, why is it just country? And I'm like, it's not just country. Holy crap. But go ahead. Let's give some of your favorite artists that's out there that you have always loved.
So, I mean, I grew up on 90s country music. You know, when I was growing up, it was all 90s country and what we now
Diamond
call classic rock.
Freaking Rio.
Yes, Diamond Rio is amazing. Diamond Rio, David Lee Murphy, Alan Jackson, George Strait, Garth Brooks.
Sawyer
Brown, yes, absolutely. It was a lot of 90s country and, like I said, what we now call classic rock. So for that, I'll always have a soft spot for 80s music. Boston, Scorpions, Bon Jovi is one of my favorites.
So you're a fan of the hair bands of the 80s, I think.
Twisted Sister and Quiet Riot, Cinderella and Firehouse. Yeah, I mean, I can go on and on about those. My mom was more of the Motown and, you know, it's the stylistics and all these obscure artists, you know, from that era. She loved disco, which I'm still not a big disco person, but I could tell you probably
in 5 years
a whole lot more songs by the Bee Gees than I care to because of her. And then her and my dad were both huge Beatles and Rolling Stones fans and the Eagles and just on and on. As you get older, I mean, you kind of develop your own taste of music as far as what you prefer to listen to. You know, when you go through grammar school, you're listening to a lot of what your peers are listening to and what's on the radio. And then by the time you get to high school, those tastes expand. So it was a lot of alternative and hard rock and metal and pop punk and emo. And then by the time I got to college, it was like a whole new world opened up. And I just got to hear so many of the same genre, artists in the same genre, but just so many more artists.
I have to ask you, is there a picture out there of you gothed?
Not completely gothed, but there's definitely pictures of me, like, you know, full on band t-shirts and t-shirts over the long sleeves and, you know, big pants and I don't know. I mean,
JNCO jeans. Yes. I got to tease you a little because I'm from the same generation, so it makes sense. Yeah. But yeah, no, I'm not going
to. It was hard not to fall into that culture.
The Hot Topic generation? No, yeah, I agree with you. The Hot Topic
generation.
I agree with you. So keep going. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you're fine. No, this is the first time we've ever done a show, so if it sounds like that, it's because it is.
And so as far as like some of my all-time favorite artists or bands, I mean, Lifehouse, make fun of me all you want, but I will forever love Lifehouse.
Lifehouse did, I'm going to get the song.
Pain by a Moment.
Okay, see, I was going to get the song right. Okay, that's good. Because there's like them and there was another band that came out at that same time where like I couldn't tell the lead singers apart.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I, so lately.
Oh, The Calling.
Yes, that song.
They only had maybe one or two albums.
Yeah, they only had one hit. I mean,
yeah.
But that when I heard that song, because and then hanging or hear Lifehouse, I'm like, no, it's the same band, right?
No, not at bad. All. And diehard Lifehouse fans would like kill you for saying that.
I know. I mean, I pissed off Star Wars fans this week. I might as well just piss off every genre while I'm at it, so it doesn't matter.
But yeah, so Lifehouse is forever one of my all-time favorite bands. Mashbox 20. Is just phenomenal. Rob Thomas is a musical genius, in my opinion. One of the greatest frontmen and singers of all time.
I think one of the songs that defines my entire high school life is Smooth.
Because that song is such an amazing song. And to hear the story that he tells about it during his live shows is even better.
Like every time I hear that song, I can't help but smile and somewhat start dancing. And I cannot dance worth a crap.
That makes two of us.
So, any other bands?
Well, as far as artists, Garth Brooks. I mean, there's a reason.
I feel like everybody enjoys Garth Brooks.
I mean, he's just phenomenal. I mean, as far as like musical catalogs, I mean, his is just amazing. And then, I mean, he could probably sing The Phone Book and make it sound amazing. But he's also a really humble and funny guy. If you ever get the chance to watch his special that he from his residency at the Wynn Hotel in Las Vegas, it was just him and an acoustic guitar, and he basically takes you on his musical journey of his career, and he plays snips of like, well, this is all live. He plays you snips of songs that inspired and influenced him, and then of his own songs, and he tells you the story of how each song throughout his career was influenced by a different artist, you know. And he goes through James Taylor and Simon and Garfunkel and Bob Seger and just so many more, and his sense of humor. I mean, he's one of the funniest guys you'll ever hear.
So I got a Garth Brooks story for you that I lived in Oklahoma City.
Okay.
And he lives like, I think 10 or 15 miles away from Oklahoma City.
Right.
But I was traveling back from something and we walked into a Walmart and him and Trisha were in the Walmart.
Oh my God. No way.
And cause I mean, they're adamantly about, we're going to support local.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're in Walmart and no one's bothering them. And I'm going, that is Garth Brooks in a GD Walmart. And I could not stop freaking out, but I didn't talk to him cause I feel that's just rude. But because I, you know, it's like this is no one else is bothering them. Everyone acts like it's just normal every day. So
I would have had to have gone up to him because what else are you going to get a chance to talk to Garth Brooks?
Well, I did get that opportunity to shake his hand at one point, but. But see,
I'm the jealous one.
See, that came later, but it was in the same year, but that came later. But I was just going, I just saw Garth Brooks in a Walmart. I don't think anything's going to top this living in Oklahoma City for me now at all. And then come to find out, Trisha Yearwood has a cooking show, and she buys all of her ingredients from Walmart.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, that's how I found out about the why they go to Walmart. And I didn't know she had a cooking show until, I think, 2 months after that experience.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, her cooking show is actually really cool.
And good food. I have made a few things from it. So I was in my single days. It was... I cooked a lot. I watch Food Network a lot, too, but that's a weird conversation for another day.
Trisha makes everything she cooks look so easy.
I know. Okay, so if I cook, I have every dish dirty. Like, I don't know how... like, we have four plates, and somehow all four plates will end up dirty. But Trisha Yearwood can make it, and it just looks beautiful off, like, a casserole dish and one spatula. That's all you need.
Like, right.
Holy cow. So... a little bit more about you.
Okay.
You just sent in your 2017 year in review.
Yes, I did.
So without giving away major spoilers, because like I said, I don't know when this show is going to go up in correlation with your article. It might be the same day, just because. without giving away your top albums of the year, what was your biggest surprise of the year?
My biggest surprise?
Yeah.
You know, Walker Hayes. Released his album just last week, and I'm not a big hip-hop fan, and I'm not necessarily categorizing his album as hip-hop, but he's got that that sing-rap style about him, and I guess you would call it freestyle, but his album is what surprised me was how much I really enjoyed his album, and it's just so good, and if you get a chance, go listen to it, because it is some of the most honest and just raw emotional filled music that you will ever hear, and it's his story, and it's one of the best albums of the year. So that really surprised me how much I really enjoyed that.
Great, that's another album for me to listen to. Awesome. Seems like every day I have new albums and artists from you, and I don't know how this works out, but
that's not a bad thing.
No, it's not. What was one of your worst albums of the year?
Oh boy. So I have three that I wish, like, I was just hoping were going to be so much better than what they were.
I can tell you which artists, one of those is not. It is not Reputation. That album is fantastic.
Yeah, no, Reputation is definitely not one of the disappointing albums at all on any sort of level. So there was three artists who came out with their newest album this year, and they were highly anticipated albums because it's been a couple years. Some a little longer since these artists have released new music. One was Chase Rice, and I'm a big Chase Rice person. I follow him since the beginning of his career. And
wasn't he
Lions
on a reality
Lambs,
show, or am I wrong?
He was on a reality show, Survivor.
Okay, I knew he was on one, but I couldn't remember if it was one of the singing ones or
no, it was Survivor.
Oh boy.
Yeah. but Lambs and Lions is just a very underwhelming album. There's a couple good songs off of there. One song in particular that really stands out that's excellent is Three Chords and the Truth. And it's a phenomenal song, and it doesn't fit the rest of the album because the rest of the album is so disappointing. He said that this was going to be his true self, that fans were finally going to get to see him in all his vulnerabilities and everything, because he went through some obstacles with his old label, and so when the news came out that he broke from them and signed with Broken Bow, everyone, you know, was wondering what was going to happen, and he's like, you know, I can finally be who I am and not have to be told to, you know, do this in order to fit the genre. And then I just think he's still going through an identity crisis. I don't think that he fully knows who he wants to be or who he is yet.
That might take some time.
Yeah. So that was one. Another one, and this is my my 2000s fangirl coming out, Michelle Branch. I loved everything else she's put out.
I haven't.
Oh, no?
I'm going to go back to the song. and I can't even think of the name of the song now. The one that got her on the map.
Everywhere?
Yes. Okay, so it came out at the same time as Vanessa Carlton's song. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you now, Vanessa Carlton has, and I love Michelle Branch, and I think she's very talented, but Vanessa Carlton had so much more of an upside. And I think it makes me mad that Michelle Branch was the one that took off.
they were both super, super talented. They had different styles. But I think Michelle Branch's music just, I don't know if it was what the pop stations were looking for at the time, but it's just, I mean, her career just took off, but then it also died down. Whereas Vanessa Carlton, she could have easily gone further. I don't know if the music wasn't there for her.
And she's
like,
had
the
a
songs
ton
that
of
she
albums.
Was choosing.
And she's had a really? Ton of albums. Yeah. Yeah. She's had like, at least, I would say at least seven since A Thousand Miles came out.
Right.
I love that song, by the way.
Yeah.
And most of that is because of White Chicks, but I do love that song. But yeah, no, when I saw that on the list, I was like, I didn't even know Michelle Branch was still making music, because I know she was in a country group that broke apart.
Really? Right, so she was in the Wreckers, and yes. They had one of the most top charted songs with Leave the Pieces, and that was in, most people will probably know it from One Tree Hill. They were in an episode of One Tree Hill. They played themselves.
Of course.
And she did, I think this was before the Wreckers, but it could have been after, where she had an EP, and one of her best songs, I think, was on that EP. It was, oh my goodness, what was it called?
Never thought I'd ever have a conversation over Michelle Branch on a Christmas episode, but that's a whole another argument.
It was I Want Tears was the name of the song, and it's one of her best songs. And so I was really hoping that when she said she was coming out with new music, because she did a couple shows at the Bluebird Cafe in Nashville, Tennessee. My good buddy was there. And I was really hoping that she was going to put out like a little bit more of like a country album, or, you know, like a songwriter kind of album. And I was just really excited for it. And then she puts out the Hopeless Romantic album, and it was just the weirdest thing I've heard.
Which says a lot, because there's been some weird music in 2017.
I wanted to like music. It so bad. I tried going back and listening to it multiple times, and I couldn't get through the album. I just couldn't.
So
broke my heart.
I actually want to ask you about a song that did not make your list.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, because I feel the song kind of surprised me in 2017, because I did not and I got to find the song now because it's on my playlist. I got to get past all my Taylor Swift. Hold on.
I'm curious to see what song this is now.
Which we bonded over. We bonded over some Taylor Swift.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Is that who it is? I'm going to get the artist wrong, and I want to make sure I get this right.
So everyone knows, I broke my best of 2017 music releases list into three categories. There's albums, there's EPs, because personally I don't consider an EP an album, because it's an album has to be at least 10 songs, in my opinion.
Right.
So there's albums, there's EPs, and then there's singles, which were not included on an EP or an album. These were just single releases.
There's some good ones on that. There is some really good. That's probably my favorite list. But I'm going to ask you for a song and why it didn't make it. And if you've heard the song, then we're going to have a conversation. But this is what this show does.
Okay.
I discovered an artist by accident this year.
Uh-huh.
That's, I know you've heard the song Human.
By Christina Perry?
No. By Rag and Bone Man.
Oh, I don't think I've heard that.
I'm going to tell you, I think you need to go out of your way to listen to that song.
Okay.
Because it is probably the most soulful song I've heard all year.
Huh.
See, now, hey, for the first time ever, I think I gave you music to listen to.
There is a first time for everything.
And it happens, and it's recorded, and it is documented. Yes!
Even better.
I think, it's a really good song. That's probably one of my favorite songs of the year. But again, I love your list, not to give anything away.
Yeah.
But there is some people on here that I didn't expect.
Yeah, I kind of surprised myself with it a little bit.
So, and there's some really good songs on here. There's one that surprises me that's even on the best singles list. But again.
Uh-oh. Which one?
And being that it's not number one, we can talk about it. It's Fall Out Boy.
Oh, yeah. So Fall Out Boy is... they've been one of my favorite bands since high school. Take This to Your Grave will forever be one of my favorite albums of all times. They kind of fell short for me and for one of the Court Street. I know everyone else fell in love with them for that album. And then especially
the
after that
the
album.
The music videos off that album are so weird.
Yeah, they are. They're very weird. everything after From Under the Cork Tree just was just not the real Fall Out Boy, in my opinion. There was a couple songs here and there off each album that I really enjoyed, but as a whole, their catalog just falls short for me. But with a new album, and it was scheduled to come out this year, I was really hoping it would, but they, for whatever reason, rescheduled it, and now it comes out in January. The first single off the new album, which I believe is entitled Mania, didn't do it for me at all. But the second single, which is Last of the Real Ones, and that's on my list, that's what Rich is talking about, I actually really enjoy that song. And for me, I feel like that's where their progression should have gone. Same thing with Centuries and My Friends Know What You Did in the Dark. Those, I feel like, are next level Fall Out Boy. And if all of their songs off of their albums after One of the Courts Who were like that, they would still be one of my favorite bands of all time. But they're just not consistent. I really enjoy Last of the Real Ones, though.
So that list will be posted on the website, hopefully the same day this goes up, so you can check that out. Now, I feel this is also a really good question, and something I get a lot for you.
Okay.
Guilty pleasure bands.
Oh, guilty pleasure bands.
Because I know you have a few. Everyone does.
I do. I'm trying to think of who they would be. Most of my guilty pleasure stuff ends up being from what's on the radio. I would say, so DJ Khaled, who
I know nothing about,
but his song, the one with, I don't even know who else sings on it, but it's the one with, All I Do Is Win.
Yeah. The one I was singing. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a guilty pleasure song for me.
Oh my God.
And then, of course, you know, over the summer when the Nashville Predators went into the Stanley Cup Finals, and Carrie Underwood is at every game, and they show her in her box with her posse, and she's singing that song. I mean, it's just, you know, it feels, you know, you end up falling prey to that the Predators hype, and the song just gets stuck in your head.
You are the first person to ever talk hockey on any show other than our sports show, so congratulations on that one.
Thank you.
And I'm a huge hockey fan, too. I am an Anaheim Ducks fan.
Oh, Anaheim.
Yep. And a St. Louis Blues fan, but I don't really want to tell you that because I know where you live.
Yeah. Funny story, actually. So I'm a Hawks fan. My husband is a huge Blackhawks fan. We live in Chicago. And when June came around, or right before, like, the end of May, the Blackhawks obviously did not make the Stanley Cup Finals this year. And my husband was screaming in the other room watching the game. And he comes in like halfway through our apartment, and he says, he's like, I hope you don't bring me anything back from Nashville when you go, because I'll just burn it, because the Hawks had lost and the Predators had won. And I was going to Nashville for CMA Fest, obviously. And he's like, you can't root for the Predators. That's just wrong. You live in Chicago. I said, look, when the Blackhawks are doing well, when they're in it, I am 100% a Blackhawks fan. But when they're not and the Predators are doing well, I'm going to vote for the team from my second favorite city. That's just how it's going to be.
That works. That's how that works. I'm sorry, but the Blues are a better team. But that's another argument for another show. We're not going to get into that. All right. So I feel we got to talk some nerd stuff before we get into Christmas because, well, that's just what we do. And last week, USA, we bonded over something I didn't know you were a fan over. USA brought back Psych.
Oh, best thing ever.
For a one time, by the way, not just a one shot. It is supposed to be a 4-movie deal.
Which I cannot wait for the next 3.
So that was talked about after it aired because it did so well.
Yeah,
I don't know about you, but did you sing the theme when it started playing?
Oh, totally. I love that theme song. It's probably my favorite TV theme song ever.
It's up there for me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that in True Blood. Like, it's so good. Like, when I hear the Friendly Indians song, I know that Psych is on. Like, I know that show is on. How did you get into Psych?
You know, it's been a while, so my memory, I'm getting older, my memory is not what it used to be. but I think I just remember seeing a preview for it on TV, on USA, and I went back and watched it on demand, because I'm never home to watch live TV. And I just fell in love with James Rodea's character, Sean Spencer, and Dulé Hill, and the chemistry that they build off of, one another. And it's just the show itself. I mean, it's this like silly but serious detective, and yet it still brings in the a little bit of the, I don't want to say paranormal because it doesn't really necessarily deal with that, but the whole psychic aspect of it, I guess, kind of makes it fit into that genre.
So did you watch from the beginning?
Adventure I love about it.
You watched from the beginning though, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I want to say this. So the first season to me is not as good as any of the others, but and I think my reasoning behind that is because James Rodet and Dulé Hill become the executive producers in season two.
Right.
And that's when that show just automatically takes off.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, they still had their moments, but those two guys together might have the best chemistry of any on-screen duo, with the exception maybe Jim and Dwight.
See, I'm not an Office person.
Right. But I mean, there's always someone out there that could possibly go, okay, that's who it would be. But I mean, they're fun, and
they're so much fun.
Obscure references after obscure references, like you have to know pop culture to love Psych. I feel
absolutely, and the reference to the Gin Blossoms in the new movie
that was awesome.
Spoil it for anyone, but I love the Gin Blossoms.
That was awesome. I love, too, the one little joke. It's like, hey, you look like the kid from The Cosby Show to Dulé Hill.
Oh, my God. That is an ongoing joke from the beginning of the series, and it's just the funniest thing ever.
And
because
I laugh.
He does totally look like Bud from The Cosby Show.
And I laugh so hard every time they do that joke, because, I mean, when they did The Cosby Show reunion, where they had the mother and all of, and I was just like, this just gets better and better. Like, Dulé Hill, those two guys, I want the show to come back. I want the show to come back for another run. Like, let's do it. I think there was a part of me, though, that was a little sad. And I hope Timothy, and I can't pronounce his last name, Omundson?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Gets better, because I did miss seeing him on the screen for this. Like, I know he was there, but it's not the same without Lasseter.
Yeah, it was a very emotional couple of minutes when he was on screen
for that
short period of time.
I bawled.
Yeah, it was very sad.
Which I'm like, I don't think I ever cried through an episode of Psych, but I bawled during that moment. Like, and my wife, who has never seen the entire run of the series.
Oh, no.
But watched the movie with me because she knew I was so excited for it, was just like, that was worth it. Now she wants to buy the entire series.
Oh, it's totally worth it.
Yes. Which makes me super excited.
Yeah. I love like the lifelong friendship that Sean and Gus have. James Rodet's character and Dulé Hill's, for people listening that don't know what we're talking about. Their lifelong friendship, it's just lasted all these, 30 something years. And it's just like, it kind of hits you in the heart a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Cause I think you can relate to that. I feel that we all have that one friend where you're like, we're Sean and Gus.
I wish I had that.
My wife looked at me and went, we're Sean and Gus, aren't we?
Aww.
And I went, yeah, probably. So there's, that's and adorable. I mean, that was, I'm glad that I didn't know you were a fan, and I got super excited for that.
Yes, yes, same here.
And then you
I literally know nobody else in my life who enjoys this show.
That was I actually started watching Monk, and they started showing Psych, like, right after Monk.
Yeah, so the, so ION shows it now, the ION channel, but Hallmark Movies and Mystery Channel is going to be showing Psych reruns starting in January.
Sorry, I just got super excited because I love Hallmark channels. Let's just go.
Yes, I love the Hallmark mystery movies. They are my favorite.
And right now they're showing my favorite version of movies.
Oh, no, Christmas movies.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're going to get there. We're gonna get there. You did text me a really interesting point that if you could live in any television show, it would be Santa Barbara and Psych.
Yes, absolutely.
Which now they're in San Francisco and in the Goonies, in the same building that the Goonies are, the same place in Chinatown. The Goonies.
Gremlins.
Were. Gremlins, sorry. Was in, and I'm like, that's great.
Yeah.
So why Psych? Why would you live in Santa Barbara?
Because he's literally like living out one of my dreams. Like as a kid, like
You want to be a psychic detective?
I'm not necessarily a psychic detective. But, like, so, like, I'm a nerd. From to this day, I still love to read. I love mysteries. I love anything to do with the supernatural and the paranormal. I love police crime dramas. So, if you can come, anytime you can combine those two things together, it's just, like, it's like Christmas. And Psych, I feel like, does that. It's just this crazy, like, adventure. I don't even know how to explain it, but... Like, Sean's sense of adventure and his willingness to try and get Gus to do the craziest thing at a drop of a hat. That's me. Like, I've always want, like, I've always tried to, like, get, like, my friends, like, in high school and college to do crazy stuff. Like, yeah, let's go to this abandoned mental asylum and go exploring when we probably shouldn't. And let's go walk through a cemetery at night, even though we probably shouldn't. That's me to a T. Like, I love that stuff. And if I knew it wouldn't get me arrested or looked at like I'm completely nuts, then I would probably still be doing that stuff. And I think that's why I love psych. Because it speaks to, like, my inner child.
So what other nerd stuff do you have on your list? Because I feel now we're getting into a whole different area that people are knowing you.
As far as...
No, let's go with TV and movies. I feel there's
TV and movies. So I'm a huge Friends person, but I feel like almost everyone in America is a Friends fan.
There's like four shows that it's like you're either a fan of this one, or this one. It's like Friends, Seinfeld, How I Met Your Mother, and The Office. Like, there's always one of those four is going to end up on your list.
Yeah, I was definitely more of a Friends person. That was something that my mom and I just always bonded over. Psych, Dawson's Creek. I will forever be a Pacey and Joey person.
Sorry.
Dawson's Creek was my show in the back in the 90s. What else did I love? You know, I'm a big fan of Supernatural, but I fell off when they started in the whole angel demon thing. And I never went back and finished watching it. But the early seasons, the first two seasons, I was a big fan of. Especially that one-off episodes where it had to do with nothing with the major storyline. Those were my favorites.
See, like, I'm gonna flat out tell you, I think you'd love season 5.
Really?
Because season 5 is very psych-esque.
Oh, okay.
There's so much. Okay, so I'm not gonna spoil an episode for you, but there's an episode of Supernatural that's my favorite. They go to a Supernatural convention.
Oh my God.
And it is fantastic. Like, there are people dressed as Dean and Sam throughout this entire thing. And it is
awesome.
So funny, because
I'll have to go back and watch that.
Yeah, season 5 is completely worth it. That and the episode where they get stuck in TV. Like, they actually get stuck outside the show.
Where, is it like a black and white episode?
No. They get stuck where they actually meet the real life people who are playing the actors.
Oh, wow.
And it's funny. Oh my God, it's funny, because they think I can't think of his name now. The guy who plays Castiel is actually Castiel in real life, mm-hmm. And it is so funny. Oh my
goodness!
I'll
have to go back and rewatch now.
Yeah, season 5 is probably my favorite season of that show, and I kind of fell off after that.
Yeah, because
it does go downhill hard after 6. But most shows after a while, most shows after that long just takes a nosedive.
Right. Another one of my shows that I nerd out about is Castle. I love Richard Castle because, again, it goes through the whole thing that, like, he's speaking to my inner child, where he's a writer, he's a mystery writer, and yet he gets involved with the police and he actually gets to solve crimes in real life. How freaking cool is that?
So as a fan of that show, I feel like you need to go out of your way to watch Firefly.
Really? See, no, I'm not a sci-fi person.
But there's a
reason.
I'm
probably losing a lot of fans right now.
No,
on the show,
no.
So I apologize.
There's a reason for that. There are so many Firefly references in Castle.
Really?
Yeah, like the Halloween episode. I'm a space cowboy.
Oh, that makes so much
That's
sense.
That's a Firefly reference. They're, like, anytime there's a person who is on Firefly, they reference the show. Somehow, some way, they will reference Firefly.
Interesting.
So that
and Castle was... Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that's something you might want to look into. Plus, it's actually a pretty good show.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard a lot of people really speak highly of it.
Did you enjoy Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the TV show. Yes, I did.
Not the movie. We don't talk about the movie.
Yeah, no, not the movie.
Well, I mean, Joss Whedon did that too, so I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah. I know. And I contemplated going back and trying to watch Firefly, but
It's only
the
one season.
Thing,
come
and I'm
on.
Like, eh.
It's actually not. Get past that. It's actually pretty fun.
Yeah.
Plus, it's only one season, so there's only 14 episodes, and that's all you have to get through.
That's true. And Buffy the Vampire Slayer was the same way, where the early seasons, to me, were the best.
That one, I enjoyed the whole run, but I haven't seen it in so long, I need to go back and rewatch it.
Yeah.
There's a few shows like that.
Yeah.
So now everybody's getting to know you. This is great.
Yeah. Going back to, just for a minute, sorry, to Castle, there was another show where the one-off episodes, where it didn't have a lot to do with the overall storyline, were some of the best, like the Halloween episodes, the zombie episodes,
yes.
the spoof of Carrie, and what were some of the other ones? Rear Window episode.
That's a great one. Like, oh my God.
I love that stuff. I absolutely love it.
I didn't expect you to say you're a Castle fan. See, now there's like a whole new realm of things to discuss. Because yeah, I'm a huge Nathan Fillion fan.
I'm like, I nerd out, and I do nerd out. It's just about certain stuff.
No, I think everyone has their own nerd thing. It doesn't matter what it is. And it could be anything. If you're passionate about it, you're a nerd.
Right. Absolutely.
So I guess it's time to talk about the reason we're all here, and that is Christmas. And I feel that we talked a little bit about this before we recorded, and I was sad. So what is your take on Christmas, first of all, to let everyone listening know?
I am a Scrooge, and I am not a fan of Christmas. I am not a fan of New Year's Eve.
Oh, well, I could understand that living in a bigger city. No, I get that.
Yeah. I think as a kid, I really liked Christmas because what kid doesn't love Christmas? But as an adult, it's just, I dread the holidays.
Do you think it's just because of people? Is that mostly it?
Totally because of people.
I hate, online shopping has made my world so much easier.
Oh, absolutely. Amazon, greatest invention ever.
I'm waiting for actual brick and mortar Amazon stores, and I keep saying it's going to happen every year.
It totally needs to.
But I'm with you. I hate going out around this time of the year because I can't deal with people in stores.
I feel like the holidays, like Christmas in particular, just brings out the worst in people, in my experience.
Oh, no, I'm with you. If anyone worked retail at any time, you know.
Yep, absolutely. Maybe that's part of it. It was because I did work retail for 3 years after college. And I had to work Black Friday and Christmas Eve and... It was just the worst
experience ever. What's the worst experience? Black Friday or Christmas Eve? Because I know Black Friday. Because I know those last minute shoppers can be a pain in the butt.
They totally can. And especially at closing time when you're literally just getting ready to lock that door and someone comes knocking on there. I just need one thing. 25 minutes later, they finally leave. And of course, you have to let them in because it's like 9:59 and you close at 10 and they're like, well, it's not 10 o'clock yet.
And then they can get you in trouble if you do close the door.
Exactly.
So is there Christmas stuff you do enjoy? Because I figure there is.
Oh, yeah. I enjoy being with my family. But at the same time, sometimes when you get all your family together, everyone gets riled up. And in my family, we're part Mexican and part Italian, and we're just very loud, and we all talk over each other, and I mean it's all in fun, but yeah, it can be a little much sometimes.
For Christmas.
Yeah, it can be a weird place for Christmas. I'm not a Christmas movie person, but I do have less than five favorite Christmas movies that I will watch.
Oh, let's try. Okay. Well, I know you said you hated A Christmas Story, which everyone listening just went. So
that is my least favorite movie of all time, next to Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
You have never seen Manos, the Hands of Fate. That needs to change.
No, I haven't.
I have a leg lamp sitting in between my two Christmas trees right now.
Damn leg lamp.
I actually have a leg lamp ornament on every tree in my house as well.
Oh, my goodness.
So we have the actual tree we bought one of the replica trees from the Charlie Brown special. Uh-huh. And instead of putting the red ornament on it, it's a leg lamp.
Oh, that's
okay,
so
Christmas movies. Okay, this is gonna be fun. I'm gonna say one of them's Elf.
Wrong. I actually hate Elf too.
Oh, so it's not comedies. That Scrooged?
Nope.
Well, that sucks. You just said you were a Scrooge. Like, how do you go say that? Muppet Christmas Carol?
Like, do you want to keep guessing?
The only other two I've got is It's a Wonderful Life, which is a fantastic movie.
I have never seen It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, my God.
Like, I've seen clips of it here and there on TV, but I've never sat down and watched the whole movie.
You're killing me, Smalls.
I know.
All right, go ahead. Let's hear the first one.
All right, so I'm an old soul. I love White Christmas. I just watched it, actually, this weekend.
Bing Crosby can put me to sleep in any mood, and I love that movie, but damn his voice.
Yeah, his voice is just like butter. That's all it is.
Oh, it's so good. Like, his voice... Like, literally, oh, God, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but literally his voice is exactly what the phrase panty dropper meant.
My grandmother was a big Bing Crosby person.
I would have in a heartbeat just like, I'm out. That's a great movie. Yeah. I love that musical.
It is. It really is. And I'm not a musical person at all. Like, as far as like musicals, like,
that's irony.
Goes.
That's irony. I know.
It is totally irony. Like, there's a very few that I like, but that's a conversation for a totally another time.
In choir, we sang the sister song from White Christmas.
What happened?
In my choir, we sang the sister song from White Christmas.
Nice.
All right, so that went to one. What's number two?
I love the remake of Miracle on 34th Street.
The remake's good. I can't argue that. The remake's good.
Yeah, and I think with that movie, it's totally about the... it's just inspiring people to believe in something that they can't necessarily see. And it's just... And in that aspect, I guess, the little bit of the Scrooge comes out of me. Like, it disappears for a little bit because I love the magic of it. Because in my house... my mother was one of those people who, still to this day, if you don't believe, you don't receive. So in our house, you had to believe in Santa Claus. And I'm literally holding up like my quotations right now.
I want you to know that I am clapping for this. This is awesome.
So that movie kind of always reminds me of her expression.
How often do you talk to your mom?
Oh, God, every day.
Have you told her you write letters to Santa?
She's actually, last year, I think, was the first year that she saw, and she thought it was really cute.
Because, I mean, as someone who, as you say, you know, you have to believe to receive, and I feel now that you write letters to Santa, I'm like, as an adult, that's great.
Yeah. Actually, it reminded me, when you first started doing that, the Dear Santa, when I first started writing for TBK, it reminded me of, there's this one specific Christmas memory that sticks out, and it was like, it was Christmas Eve, and we were literally waiting for my mom's family to come over to celebrate. And I had asked my mom, I don't know why. I was like, I think it was maybe like 7 or 8. And I was like, Mom, I'm like, what do you want for Christmas? You know, if you had one thing. And she's like, you know, because I think it was a dry December. And she's like, I really wanted to snow. I don't like snow, but on Christmas Eve, I really like to see snow on Christmas. So me being the little imaginative creative kid or whatever that I was, I had to write a letter to Santa and ask him to make it snow for my mother for Christmas. And I told my dad, I was like, Dad, you've got to get this to the mailbox. You got to get it there, as soon as possible. And I don't know what he did with it. But somewhere later that night when it was snowing, my dad grabbed me aside and he took me outside and he's like, look, he's like, it's snowing. And like, he kind of had a tear in his eye and I had a tear in my eye. And it was just like that special moment. And like, obviously, it just starts knowing because Mother Nature, whatever. But because of that moment and, the spirit of Christmas,
it's because you got your letter to Santa.
Yeah. It kind of makes you believe, and I guess as much as I struggle with my faith sometimes in believing, I remember moments like that. And that's when I kind of remind myself that sometimes you really do just have to believe.
That's kind of one of the reasons I make everyone do those every year. Because I think it brings you back to a happier place. And I mean, honestly, I remember writing letters to Santa and, my mom going, I'll mail those. Or my dad just telling me, I'll mail it. And then I think when I was cleaning out my mom's house after we put her in the nursing home, and I honestly, God, found every single one of those.
Oh.
And I went, okay, I have to keep this now. So.
Yeah.
No, I get that. That is an amazing story. And that's actually, I love this year because everyone has shared sentimental stories. And I'm loving this. Continue on. We're at two movies.
What was my other one? sorry. I am looking at my notes that I had. Oh, my goodness. Where is it? So growing up as a kid, one of the movies that we always watched together as a family was Prancer. And for the same reason that I love the remake of Miracle on 34th Street.
I never would have guessed that at all.
You've never what?
No, I would have never guessed that.
Oh, yeah. Prancer was a big one for us growing up in my house. It was just that that whole sentiment of just believing in the magic of Christmas.
Those are the best kinds, though.
But, yeah. As far as Christmas specials, I mean, the Saved by the Bell Christmas special.
Wait, which one? The one where they're working in the mall?
He said no.
Yes, the one when they all work at the mall.
Yes. I love that one.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't, right?
A Christmas Carol with this, Saved by the Bell. Oh my goodness!
Yeah. So those are my favorite Christmas movies.
All right, so a little bit more to go. I have one Christmas music question for you, and as a music person, I feel like you can answer this better anyway.
Okay.
So I wrote yesterday, or wrote Sunday, that there's no new Christmas music, and we haven't had a classic Christmas song since All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Right.
Why do you think that is?
You know, I don't know. I mean, people have put out Christmas albums.
Especially in the country genre, which is
especially
huge.
In the country genre, yes. Brett Eldridge, if you haven't heard his Christmas album, Glow, it's like, and if you're a big Frank Sinatra fan, go listen to
it. It's a phenomenal album.
It's really good, yes.
Lindsey Stirling's Christmas album is the other one I tell people to listen to this year.
Oh, yeah?
It's really good.
As far as why there hasn't been a classic since All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey, I think it's just because part of me feels like because nothing will compare to the 90s. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm a huge fan of 90s music. That song is just, like, iconic. Like, anytime it gets played, everyone and their brother, even if you don't like Christmas music, even if you don't like Mariah Carey, even if you don't like that song, everyone in the room will sing that song at the top of their lungs.
It's gonna be the most karaoke Christmas song ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I feel like that pretty much is going to wrap up our Christmas show with you, and I know there's not a lot to discuss but what's your worst Christmas gift? I forgot to ask you that.
Oh, my worst Christmas gift?
Yes.
Jeez. I don't know. You know, I don't know if I have a worst Christmas gift, to be honest with you. I've been pretty blessed in that sense where my family and my friends know me.
Well, now I've got a mission in life.
But one of the best, I mean, I know this wasn't your question, but one of the most memorable Christmas gifts that I recall, one of my Christmas memories is, I don't remember, it was when I was a kid. Again, maybe like 7 or 8 years old. I don't remember who gave it to me, if it was my dad or one of my uncles, but it was an Alvin the Chipmunk doll / stuffed animal, and it had the string that you pull for him to talk. As a kid, of course, I was a big Alvin the Chipmunk stan, and I don't know what it is
who was it?
That doll, but it just, I still have it. It's in a trunk in my parents' garage, which I plan on getting from them one of these days. But I've always held on to it, and it's just, I don't know, it was just, I don't know if it was the time that it was given to me or what, but that's just one Christmas gift that I've always remembered, like, look back on and remember it fondly.
That's actually a really good one. And I feel like it's a good way to end, because it's a really it's a really awesome feel-good moment.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to say to everyone listening at this point?
Go check out my best of 2017 music releases list once Rich posted it to the TPK website. I feel like there's just so much good music that was released this year, especially from new artists. And I hope everyone finds at least one artist or album or song off that list that they can go and download. I hope everyone, just enjoys the holidays with their families, even if you don't love the holidays.
Hopefully one day we'll get to go to a concert where we get to cover it together.
Yes, absolutely. That would be amazing.
We're actually going to be in Chicago to cover the Dead South.
Nice.
Which I don't know if you know who they are, but they are a bluegrass band that I fell in love with. And I'm like, I have to go meet these guys.
Okay. Where are they playing?
I don't know. I know it's in May. That's all I know.
Okay. Do you know when?
I'll give you the info.
Okay.
But they play, I'll send you a link to one of their songs too. It cracks my shit up.
I'm surprised. I wouldn't think you'd like bluegrass.
I love bluegrass. That's a guilty pleasure for me.
Really?
I have Ricky Skaggs on my playlist.
Oh my god. I could probably get like a list of bluegrass artists that you would love from my brother, because he's really into bluegrass too.
Another funny story, a couple of Christmas, like, this is when I was in radio, so this would have been like 10 Christmases ago. Mm-hmm. But the guy who plays Averman in the Mighty Ducks, I was on a game show with.
And, oh, really?
Yeah. And he's now a bluegrass artist, and he sent me a bunch of Christmas music he played.
That's awesome.
And somewhere in my apartment, I have that music.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I'll have to find it eventually, and I'll send it to you when I do.
For sure.
That dude is super talented, but I didn't know it was him until after we were done filming the game shows. Mm-hmm. I was like, you're in the Mighty Ducks, and you didn't tell me? So
that's crazy.
Yeah, fun times. Thanks for joining us, Manda.
Oh, thank you for having me. This was a blast.
And guys, she'll join us again in 2018. I have a feeling we're going to have a lot of crazy things happen in 2018.
I'm looking forward to it.
So guys, that's going to wrap up this edition of Live, and we're going to wrap up this show like every other show. But instead of Torgo ending this show, we're going to have someone Christmassy. And because she hates A Christmas Story, I was going to make it Ralphie. But out of all fairness, I will take it from a movie you enjoy. So Bing Crosby, you know what to do.
Yay.
Take us home tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, an impromptu surprise for you. The Haynes Sisters.
Sisters, sisters, there were never such devoted sisters.
Like a runner said,
be my little baby.